welcome back to the Gospel Sports Truth Podcast. Man, been a week. A lot of stuff going on in the wonderful world of sports, and we can't wait to talk to you about it all. I am your host, Zay, the Fantasy Football Fiend, and I have my guy with me, BK Wins. I'll let the people, BK.
Hey, y'all.
So remember, you guys can catch us on YouTube at The Gospel STP. Again, that's The Gospel STP. You can also catch us on Facebook. If you haven't joined the Facebook group, a lot more information, stats, what's the goings-on of various sports, up-to-date information in most cases. But make sure you check that out as well. And that's The Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. With that being said, let's go ahead and hop right into the good word for the week. What we got, BK?
Well, Zay, I hate to start the good word of the week with a tragedy, but tragedy struck Florida State today is, per law enforcement, five people are dead and four others were injured during an active shooting incident on campus today at Florida State. There were two shooters involved. One is now dead and the other in police custody. Really shocking and awful. This seems to be happening more and more, both in high schools, colleges across the country, and it's really sad. What are your thoughts on this awful tragedy?
Thoughts and prayers to the family. Like it's something we have to come to terms with. Like at this, like it's as you elegantly stated, it does happen a little too often at this point, and we have to figure out what that fix is, or what multiple ways to fix the issue is, and attempt all of them. But for today, thoughts and prayers to the family and the student body faculty. Like, this is something that'll have far-reaching effects for quite some time. So, yeah, thoughts and prayers out to the Florida State family.
And just one other thing, Zay, you know, it's what's really awful about this is the growing trend, you know, is kids when I was growing up, you know, the three safest places were always your home, school, and at church. And it's like you hear about all the things that people happen breaking into homes and all that kind of stuff, and that, you know, intruders and stuff, and then the shootings at churches and schools. And it's like, if you're not safe there, then where are you safe? You know, it's just really concerning time for everybody.
Yeah, we all have to figure out a way to do better. And a lot of times us doing better may not have anything to do with anyone on this show or anyone listening to this show. But there are things that we can help with, participate with, to hopefully assist with those that would think of doing these things, that we can figure it out before it ever gets to this. But yeah.
No, agreed. Well, and happier news to NFL, a couple of quarterback news. One, the Browns bring back quarterback Joe Flacco on a one-year deal worth $4 million with incentives that could make the deal worth over $13 million. And then in the other news, Saints quarterback Derek Carr has a shoulder injury that could put his 2025 season in jeopardy, according to multiple sources. The Saints do have the number 9 pick in the upcoming draft and have $27 million in cap space available as well if they wanted to sign another quarterback. Given both these pieces of NFL news, what's your reaction, buddy?
Browns par for the course. I believe Flacco's probably the best available, and he didn't hurt himself when playing for the Colts. So I kind of feel like he's going to be the designated mercenary for whoever needs a fill-in, whatever the case may be. It also tells me that they don't have very much confidence in where Deshaun Watson will be at minimally the beginning of the season. I mean, they also don't have very much confidence in Kenny Pickett, other than being a backup to the backup. So that's kind of where that lands. But Flacco, for my money, you're going to get more out of him than what you've gotten out of Deshaun lately, and definitely more than what you're going to get out of Kenny Pickett. So I'm glad that they didn't paint themselves into a corner and worst case scenario, you live to fight another day. No one thought you were going to win a Super Bowl this year anyway. As far as looking at other quarterback news, with Derek Carr, this news came out indicating that he had the shoulder issue. They don't seem to be panicked. Maybe that's because they have Spencer Rattler and they're saying, well, worst case scenario, we'll run you out there, and it is what it is. And it could also be that the pool here in case of emergency quarterbacks are gone. There really aren't too many guys out there waiting in the wings that can come save you or attempt to. And the couple that are out there is like, is it worth it? Aaron Rodgers, for instance. I wouldn't. He wasn't good enough to get better teams anywhere special. So why would I deal with what I'm going to have to deal with him to bring him into a situation where we haven't even baked the cake yet. So why bring in the icing? Because he's made better receiving cores not look good. He's taken several losses with better teams as a whole. Better coaching situations as a whole. If I'm Kellen Moore, who is the new head coach there, I don't want to start off my career attached to an aging, slightly less than expected as far as output is concerned. I wouldn't want that guy. Give me the guy that everybody and their mama is willing to give me a mulligan if this season don't turn out right, because I had that guy, versus bringing in Aaron Rodgers and we lose. And it's like, well, you can't blame the quarterback. Like, yeah, I mean, you couldn't blame him in the other stops either, but it didn't do very well. My thing is this. If you don't have a quarterback that you can lean on, don't spend money on a quarterback that you can't. It didn't make sense. And Aaron Rodgers is no longer a quarterback that can be leaned on.
Yes, that's interesting. So from a Browns standpoint, it makes sense because it's a familiar reunion, right? Flacco had some success. He took him to the playoff then in his year when Deshaun was out the first time. And it's not much money. I will give you something that I said when Deshaun got hurt last year. And I stand by this then, and I'm even more confident now, especially with all the renegotiation of the contract and the insurance and all these things. Deshaun Watson will never play for the Browns again. I'll repeat that. Deshaun Watson has played his last game as a Cleveland Brown. You will not see him on the field. Flacco will bridge whatever they plan on doing. And Pickett, I mean, look, Pickett was a terrible draft pick by the Steelers, and they don't miss a lot, but that was a bust. I was confident it was a bust when he got drafted, especially that early enough. He was a fifth-round pick? Okay, maybe. But as early as he went, that was terrible.
He got desperate because he was a hometown kid. They gave him the nod.
Right. But he's a bust the whole time. I've seen nothing to change that. As far as the Saints go, I'd be intrigued at number 9 if Cam Ward fell to them. Not Cam Ward, excuse me. Shedeur Sanders.
I was about to say, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, no. Shedeur Sanders. If Shedeur Sanders dropped to 9, I'd be and a lot of outlets project that to be the case. If that were to happen, I think they'd be hard-pressed to not take him.
Can I be 100% honest and transparent about something?
Of course.
Because that's what we do here on The Truth. I like Shedeur. I do. But for that offense, that head coach, I feel personally they would be better off with Dart out of Ole Miss. I really think that he would be the better fit. As much as I feel just as confident that Shedeur would be a better fit for the next team that will probably need a quarterback after pick 9, which is going to be at pick 21, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I would much rather see Shedeur end up in Pittsburgh and Dart end up in New Orleans and the Giants not ruin any other rookie. I would prefer for that to be the case.
Zay's email is just kidding. It's nice to put you on that for once versus always me.
Hey man, look, I'm just telling you what I see, because like, don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? I believe that Shadur is a lot more than a quote unquote system quarterback, but I believe that there are some warts that they're going to be a little difficult to hide. But I also believe that with having wide receivers like DK Metcalf and George Pickens, he'll be able to do in Pittsburgh what he was able to do in Colorado, which is hide a lot of the deficiencies because of the spectacular plays that only his guys could get. I don't know. I mean, Chris Olave hasn't had his first concussion this year yet, but it's coming. Like, they don't have very many wide receivers. They're still trying to get rid of Alvin Kamara. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up being traded before the draft. I'm not predicting it. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised. But at the end of the day, I kind of feel like Dart would be a – how would I say? Kellen Moore could probably get a similar gameplay from Dart as he got from Dak. And he had top five offenses with the Cowboys. So – From the QB standpoint, he still has to do whatever he needs to do as far as wide receivers are concerned. But, and he also said something towards the effect of whatever beef Michael Thomas had with the old regime, that has nothing to do with me, and we welcome him back with open arms. So there weren't any other, I won't say many other teams, there wasn't literally one other team that opened up their arms to Michael Thomas and said, hey, come in for a tryout, we'll take you on. Just the fact that that olive branch has been put out there may be enough for him to say, hey, well, at least let me kick the tires on this opportunity, if in his mind he hasn't already retired. So there's that piece.
Yeah, you know, well, first, going back to the Kamara thing, I only need two teams out there to listen to this, Washington and Denver. Feel free to trade for Kamara. I'm all for that. All other NFL teams, feel free to ignore this part of the segment because I don't want you to get him. But for those two specific teams, please call New Orleans because he would help your ball club.
Let me put on my GM hat real quick, BK, before you continue. Washington, you send me Kamara because I can afford him. I send you Austin Eckler because he's a similar guy that's going to cost you a whole lot less and you have cap issues. Mm-hmm. And then I'll send you a 6-round pick for this year. Deal?
Cool. I love it. Done.
Ready, break.
Done.
It just makes sense for both teams.
I couldn't say yes fast enough. But no, it makes a lot of sense. It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. The Saints are in a very, very, very tough situation. They have, in my opinion, a long road back to relevancy. I know the NFL is usually easier to get yourself back because of how the draft order works, and with, you know, the last place schedules will help you. You know, if you finish last, you get a better schedule. So those things tend, and I know the Panthers were the worst team, I understand that, but you get a bottom end schedule, which will help you. So there's things that will help you in the NFL to get to the top quicker. Last to first or bottom to first is easier in the NFL than other sports. But there's such a, between the cap and the talent, they got a lot of problems. But moving to the NBA, I'm going to sandwich a couple more pieces of news for you, Zay. First, another former championship winning coach fired in the NBA. The Phoenix Suns fired head coach Mike Budenholzer. And also the GM floated a KD trade. That's like the worst kept secret. They've been trying to trade him for a year and a half. So that's the first part of that news. And then in a positive note, the Thunder broke the NBA record for the scoring differential in a season. Their 12.9 scoring differential smashed the previous mark by the 71-72 Lakers, who had 12.3. Also, the Thunder tied for the sixth winningest season in NBA history. Only the 70-win Warriors, the 72-win Bulls, the 69-win Bulls, 69-win Lakers, and Sixers have won more regular season games in a single season. What is your reaction, Zay, first, to another title-winning coach getting the axe? By the way, I have a lot to comment on that when you're done. And then how about the Thunder having a terrific season? The job's not done, but it's been a heck of a regular season for the Thunder.
I got to say, BK, it doesn't surprise me, because if I'm not mistaken, the last three coaches to coach Kevin Durant have been fired, and it didn't matter what the record was. At this point, I think KD is doing his career more harm than good. He's now a coach killer who, no matter the level of his talent, can't seem to elevate those around him. That don't get you on the greatest all-time list, my humble opinion. I just got to – I also have to have calls for pause if I am a good coach and I'm thinking about taking on this team, because there's no foundation. You have no – you'd be better off trading every superstar you have right now in Phoenix and getting a bunch of glue guys and drafting a rookie. Well, no, you gave up all your picks. Never mind. I don't know what to tell you, Phoenix. You're screwed for a long time. Like, if I'm a good coach, I don't want to go there. Maybe you can keep Booker there because that's all he's ever known. And as long as you're willing to pay him, he'll stay. But, and maybe you keep Bill there because he's on a no trade clause, or you figure out a way that you can get him into a team that he's okay with. So you get some type of Chicago Bulls type situation where maybe you make more with less. That's all I can think of. Other than that, there's going to be tons of coaches, tons of GMs, tons of players that are in and out of that locker room for the next several years until they just look into something that stabilizes. As far as OKC is concerned, whatever. I've been getting the regular season before. Basketball is just starting now. Let me see what you do now. But congratulations. Good job. When you don't have a championship to your franchise, these sort of things do matter quite a bit more than in other, you know, arenas where there's a bunch of tapestry hanging from the Raptors. So that's kind of where I am on those two situations.
Yeah, I'll be really quick about the Thunder. Terrific regular season. They deserve all the credit they can get. They get for that. But in the words of a certain team back in the day, it don't mean a thing if you don't win the ring. So you got to win a title. You haven't proven you can do it. You've had the best record. You have the best team in the regular season. You have home court throughout the entire playoffs, including the finals. You got to get it done. And you got to prove that you can beat some good teams out west. You're going to have to deal with potentially the Nuggets, the Lakers, the Clippers. None of those teams are going to be a bargain to play in the postseason. Even the Wolves can be dangerous depending on how things shake out. And Edwards can go nuts. But
the Wolves won't have a chance. Lakers in five. Go on.
But that being said, our unexpected purple and gold segment sponsored by, no, just kidding.
But they could. They should. They just haven't yet.
They are favored to take care of them for sure. But what I'll say is...
Okay. No.
Real quick. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was about to ask you about another topic. Go on.
Oh, sure. So quickly, Thunder just need to close the deal and show they can win a title. The other part, as far as from the Suns part, here's where I have a little bit more to say. One, it starts with the owner. Ishiba is probably one of the worst owners in the NBA. He is literally like the Jets of the NBA. That's how bad he is. So, you know, to your point, you don't want to go to Phoenix because the ownership is awful. Second of all, look, Budenholzer has a lot of flaws as a head coach. He's quickly ticked off the players in the locker room. But here's the other thing. They mortgage draft picks for the next, like, 6 years, and they literally have three players, and they don't mesh well together. So, you
they
know...
They do the same thing. They're the same dude.
Right. You have three players that essentially do the same thing that are making way too much money, and Beal has a no-trade clause. Why in the world would you give Beal a no-trade clause?
Because they was begging everybody. That was the only way they're going to be able to keep Kevin Durant from leaving, by bringing on another quote-unquote star. But then they bring in two stars that – please don't at me, y'all. I know Kevin Durant has a whole lot of fans, but look, I'm sorry. Like, the only place that he was a champion or played championship basketball was on a team that was championship-worthy before he got there. And that's the truth. He went to the Nets. He did nothing. OKC, they – based on who was on that team, they should have been able to do a whole lot more. But at no stop has it been the Kevin Durant show. So I'm sorry. Like, he's not on my big board anymore. He just can't be. Like, now, if you ask me which basketball players I feel love basketball the most, he's probably number one. But you got to love winning as much as you love basketball and love being a leader and actually holding other people account. That's his thing. He don't want to do any of that.
That's the thing is, he's a superstar player, but an average leader at best.
You're being, okay, there you go. I was about to say, you're being kind, because, yeah, he literally says, I don't want to lead anybody. I just want to play ball. Okay, cool. If you want to be the Suns version of Kawhi Leonard, fine. But for my money, I respect Kawhi more than I do KD. Kawhi gave Toronto a championship. KD didn't give the Warriors a championship. They won one before him and won one with him, won several without. Like, I'm sorry. He's tumbling down my big board. You can't seem to really do anything if you aren't the wingman. Like, you've never been Batman and won anything. You've always been Robin. But I'm sorry. Went on a tangent there. Go ahead, BK.
No worries. A couple of college sports news, both portal related.
So, oh, yeah. That's what I needed to ask you about. Your boy from Tennessee. So all the news was that he was going to end up at Ohio State or Oregon, or it was one of the big name school. He ends up in UCLA, still in the Big Ten. Much lesser school, and I don't have this confirmed, but it was stated that he had a $2 million NRL in Tennessee. He thought he was requesting somewhere in the neighborhood of $8 million. And I saw a rumor that UCLA only gave him $1.75 million. So so maybe Ohio State and Oregon, who definitely had the money, didn't want him quite as much as he thought they may have. So maybe he kind of outran the coverage, if you will. What's your thoughts on this whole situation?
So, first of all, I love what Tennessee did, their position in this. And I also love what Coach Mario Cristobal said at Miami about this, that if you're going to try to basically hold the team hostage for NIL, just go. And I like that message, because while I'm all for players to get paid, and they deserve to get paid whatever their value is, however, this late in the game, if there was an agreement that you were going to get X amount of money, and I don't know the specific details of Tennessee, all right? I know that he was basically offered $2.4 million. That was this year. And basically, it was like a three-year, $8-ish million dollar deal, basically. All right. That started in 10th grade, mind you. But if that was the deal you negotiated for 2.4, and that was the agreement you both came to the, I feel like that is fair for him to get $2.4 million, that he should honor what he agreed to. Now, again, that's assuming that that's exactly what it was. I'm not saying that it is, just to be clear. But if there was an agreement, you should honor the contract. It's the same reason why I get annoyed with pro athletes who sign these deals, right? And they take the money at the time, think it's a great deal, and then they try to renegotiate like a year later when they have a great year. Well, what if they're hurt the whole year? Like, you don't give back money. So you don't go to your team and go, you know what? Sorry that I failed my contract this year. I'm going to give you back all the money because I was hurt.
And you know what, though? I'm sorry, BK, because I'm on the other end of this one. You know what also doesn't happen? Your team doesn't come to you and say, you know what? We were being cheap and you completely outperformed that. Here's some more money. So that goes both ways. Teams don't honor contracts. You sign a 10-year deal and 3 years in, you aren't doing what they thought you were going to do. And now all of a sudden you had a 3-year deal instead of a 10-year deal. Like, teams never honor contracts. So anyway, I digress. Go ahead.
But to answer your question, on my list of teams that I thought were under consideration, Oregon, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Southern Cal, UCLA, and even North Carolina with good old Belichick. But
oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
But their quarterback, Brown, left. They got another quarterback for the portal, so that wiped out North Carolina. And then, you know, obviously Oregon and Ohio State, to your point, are out. UCLA ended up getting in. To be honest with you, prior to the news breaking of UCLA, the team that I thought he'd go to was actually Notre Dame. They need a quarterback. They've used the portal with Riley Leonard last year, rode him all the way to the national title game. Freeman's done a great job as head coach at Notre Dame, at least, you know, last year. I think that that made the most sense to me, and he'd go to a much better team versus UCLA, which is, we're just going to say, not anywhere near the upper echelon of the Big Ten. So Nico going there isn't going to move the needle a whole lot for UCLA's program. It gets them excited, but from a wins and losses, you're still going to have to go through Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Oregon, Southern Cal, all these teams, you know, for sure Oregon and Ohio State at the bare minimum, and even Penn State. All three of those teams are really good. I just think it's going to be a tall tale for UCLA. And at the end of the day, I think this move is going to be much ado about nothing, to be honest.
I kind of feel like he just had too many cooks in the kitchen. And he had too many people telling him what he should get or could get or might be worth or should be worth and so forth and so on. To the point that the way he went about it, he just soured the taste of a lot of people that may have been interested by the preconceived notions of who he is as a person based on a business decision. So
that's well said. In other portal news, initially it was reported that South Carolina, a star player, Malaysia Fawile, had initially entered the transfer portal, but has since decided to return to Columbia. What do you make of that?
I don't know, because I've since heard that she's actually in the portal and has changed it to a, what is it? Do not disturb.
Know
what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
Do not contact. Yeah, there you go. What would I do without you, BK? So do not. Do not contact. I said, do not disturb. It's not a hotel.
We're just putting a sock on the door or a sign.
It's a classy joint, BK. You leave a necktie, okay?
I mean, it depends where you're going to school.
Touche. But yeah, I don't know what's going to. Okay. To all my South Carolina fans out there, we have several because, you know, this is hometown. So a lot of people that are listening are hometown listeners. Hear what I'm saying and don't hear what I'm not saying. Okay. She should leave. She should go. And the reason she should go is because of other news in the transfer portal where a young lady had played for Florida State who happened to be the highest scoring guard in the NCAA is coming to Carolina. And guess what? Raven Johnson is staying. She didn't leave to go to the WNBA. They played ball together, going all the way back to high school, AAU, middle school, all that good stuff. They've been playing together for years. So if you don't think it's in Don's plan to have the two of them on the court together, you're just not paying attention. So Malaysia has to ask herself a question. Do I want to be the sixth woman of the year? Or do I want to go to a team where I have the opportunity to be a starter and get my comeuppance while playing versus being benched for making mistakes? Because that's essentially where we are.
So it's interesting to me. It depends on what's important to her. If she wants to win, the two best places for her to be is where she's at or UConn. I think everyone will agree with that's probably the two winningest places to be. So now there's other great choices. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say there's only two programs. There are other places she could go that would make a difference.
I think she'd be great in Notre Dame because their point guard entered the portal and went to TCU, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
They had a lot of players leave via the
portal. I'd go to Notre Dame.
But here's my question, though. And, you know, we like to think outside of the box on the program. What if Don, who's great at making adjustments, went with a lineup that featured all three players?
Okay, so here's the only issue with that. One of the three of them would be out of their natural position, and then she'd be benching someone who's better at the three spot, because you would have to put, it would have to be Raven. Like for Wally's too small, you're not going to take the person that just had the most points per average, points per game average, and move her out of her natural position. So that would mean Fawadi would be your starting point guard. Latson from Florida State would be your two guard. And then Johnson would be your three. But Johnson isn't big enough to be a three. And you're benching someone who is better at rebounding and just better with as far as size is concerned. Now, you know, they said you can't teach size. At your 3, 4, and 5, you kind of want to have a little bit of size if possible, especially when you really don't have a true big. That's the other issue. You could go small 1 through 4 if you had a true center. I'm still waiting to see who gonna come through on the portal or what freshman phenom may come through that's going to be good enough at rebounding, defending, and have that height that going that direction could make sense. But here's the other part too. Don Staley is great at scheming up ways to include everyone. It's just going to be a matter of everyone having to be okay with not being the only one. And Fawali has had instances where she's made mistakes or she's made poor decisions, and she just seems to have a shorter leash. Raven Johnson has her warts too, but she don't seem to get pulled. It just, I don't know. If I'm for Wally, I'm rolling, and winning isn't exclusive to one school. Only one school can win the championship. So if your definition of winning is getting the ring, then, well, you're amongst a lot of great losers. So,
fair enough. Last but not least, in the good word of the week, little golfing news. It's attrition like any other. No, I won't say the whole thing for purposes, but Rory McIlroy what's that?
I said, don't get us sued, okay? Exactly. Don't have the rights to anything you were about to say or think.
But Rory McIlroy completed the career Grand Slam by winning the Masters. In his 11th try, he defeated Justin Rose in a playoff to secure the green jacket. In dramatic fashion, for those of you who didn't watch, he had a one-shot lead going to 18. He missed a very, very makeable putt to win it. He missed it and bogeyed 18 to force a playoff to win in dramatic fashion in the first hole of sudden death. Did you watch any of this? What do you think about him being a rare golfer to complete the career Grand Slam?
Also, the first golf playoff in a Masters, I believe, since 2017, if I'm not mistaken, 2017, 2018, somewhere around there. I'll say this. Boy, you better be glad you won. Because the story isn't that he went into 18 up by one. The story is that he was up by five on the back nine and almost did what he normally does in these situations, which is end up losing anyway. So I'm happy for this is not today. This is not the day to poo-poo Rory McIlroy and bring up his past defeats. So I'll say congratulations to him. Heck of a Masters. This might have been one of the best Masters in recent years, with just having that last day. I'm getting the updates. The updates made me go turn it on TV, because I just thought it was over when he was up by five, and he had been doing good, you know, every day. Like, there's no way no one's coming back from that. And then I was like, oh, he's about to Rory. Like, he's doing it. But he figured it out. He removed his head from his behind parts and came through in the clutch. So congrats to him for doing something that very few have done. And this kind of cements his legacy in the wonderful world of golf.
Well, that concludes our good word of the week. Now off to the truth. And
BK, you didn't think I knew that much about golf, did you?
I was impressed.
I'm going to come clean. It's all due to the video game. If it wasn't for Tiger Woods golf video games, I wouldn't know nothing. I know every player that plays golf because of the Tiger Woods game. I know their strengths, their weaknesses, the things they can do and the things they can't do, all because of the PGA Tour game.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is why we can't have nice things.
And it's also the truth and nothing but the truth. All right, moving right along, PK.
Well,
heck of a segue
Let's move to something, buddy, that I know you're an expert at. NBA playoffs.
What we got?
So the matchups are set, mostly set. In the East, the 2 versus 7, we're going to have the Celtics versus the Magic. We're going to have the 3 seed, the Knicks, hosting the Pistons. We're going to have the 4 seed, the Sixers, hosting the Bucks. Bucks and the Cavs will have the winner of the Heat and the Hawks.
Cavs and six.
So I have the Celtics beating the Magic, the Knicks beating the Pistons. It was interesting to me because, well, and I have the Cavs beating either the Heat or the Hawks. I have the Eastern Conference Finals being the Cavs and the Celtics going to the finals. The Cavs and the Celtics are the two best teams. My big concern for the Celtics are, can they stay healthy? Will Porzingis hold up for the playoffs? They've been resting him a lot. They need him to go back-to-back. Also, Jaylen Brown has been dealing with a little bit of an injury issue. You know, will he be 100% come playoff time? They'll need him to be at his best. Not in the first couple rounds, but they'll need him for the Cavs for sure. And then in the NBA Finals, should they get there, to go back-to-back. For the Cavs, it's how do they handle this tremendous season. It's great when you have this historic season for them. Terrific season. They deserve all the credit, as you would say, flowers that they got. But at the end of the day, they're not used to being in this position. No one expected them to be in the position. So how do they handle the success, knowing that they could get the Heat in the first round, which are a very dangerous team? In the
Not worried about the Heat. The playoff Jimmy ain't there no more.
But Pacers, Bucks in the second round, the Bucks could be a problem should they get through. And then obviously the Celtics are going to be a problem. I can promise you that. But
the difference between the East and the West, which is kind of interesting, the team that did the best in the West is the team that everyone is hoping can get it together in the playoffs. I really don't feel like anyone has any level of confidence with the Cavs, and you would almost think that the Celtics had the better record in the East this year. I feel like the Cavs are the Rodney Dangerfields of the NBA this year, in that they aren't getting any respect at all.
So we're in the truth segment, so I'm going to come clean about something. I had the show prep done Tuesday night. Okay, where you're going to see this on Friday. So I had this done Tuesday night. I sent it to you yesterday, as you'll confirm, and or Wednesday, as the case may be. And I did update as we went along, the update of the play-in rounds and all those things, and make sure that the hockey standing is lined up when we go through that. But what I'll say is, I added, obviously, the Florida State shooting, which happened on Thursday. The other thing that I'm going to change something. I sent you my picks. I'm actually going to take the Bucks over the Pacers now. The reason why in the list I had the Pacers over the Bucks is Lillard was supposed to be out for this series, and all of a sudden he's been cleared to play. So
big difference.
With Dame Time playing, that changes the Bucks' chances. I don't think they can beat the Pacers without Dame Time.
No.
With them, I think they get through. So give me the Bucks to knock out the Pacers now that we have that update.
Agreed.
So in the West, who you got?
In the West, taking the Lakers.
Because I was going to tease you, Zay, and say, no pun intended, I didn't want to steal your thunder and let you have talk about the West.
I'm taking the Lakers. I mean, here's the thing, though. This can end up being a situation where the crash course that the NBA needs and wants is Lakers versus Warriors. I don't care about the championship. I don't care about Western. Like, if the Lakers meet up with the Warriors, that will be must-see TV and 9 times out of 10, the most watched series amongst the playoffs matchups. I don't believe that Minnesota has anything for the Lakers. They have a great player, but the Lakers also have a couple of those, a few of those even. So we might be in a position where we're not even attempting to stop Anthony Edwards. You get your 45, 10, and 5. If no one else does anything, you're still about to lose because Austin Reeves is going to get half of your numbers. Luka is going to get the same numbers. And LeBron gonna get in where he fit in, so I see the Lakers as being better than people want to give them credit for being, and I don't see any team other than the Warriors that kind of puts fear in my heart at this point. If we still had AD and we were going up against the Nuggets, I would say, ooh, I don't know about that, but with Luka, LeBron, Austin Reeves. And the rest of the game, Lakers in 5, every series. That's where I'm at.
So I'll at least predict the first round of these series. And I'm only going to go so far at this point because in the West, I worry about injuries much more so than the East. So I have OKC.
The East was pretty banged up last year.
Correct. I like OKC to win their first round matchup no matter who they get. They'll beat whatever 8 seed, no problem. They'll cruise through that. I have the Lakers beating the Wolves. I think the Lakers are just, well, Ant Edwards is a problem, and he's going to be a beast in this series. The Lakers just have too much. They have the better team, much better starting 5. The Lakers should have no problem advancing to the next round. I actually have the Clippers beating the Nuggets. The Clippers, to me, are quietly the third best team right now in the West. I have the Lakers second and the Thunder first in terms of my own seeding for this. I think the Rockets, while they had a terrific regular season, give them credit. They're probably one of the worst 2 seeds I've seen. I have the Warriors knocking out the Rockets. I don't think there's any way that the Rockets are going to be able to deal with Butler and Steph Curry in a seven game series. So, give me the Warriors. You'll see the Warriors and the Lakers that everyone in the NBA wants to see and the fans want to see. You'll see the Thunder, Lakers, Warriors, and Clippers advancing to the next round?
I think that this is going to be a pretty interesting playoff for the NBA. I think it'll be very entertaining in comparison to what we've seen in some years past. So I'm very much looking forward to it. Very much looking forward to it.
I think the last thing I'll say about that, though, Zay, to your point is, I think the West is very, very entertaining and will be very interesting. It should make for great theater. The East, not so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, well, with Dame time being healthy, I have to give the Bucks a chance unless one of their big stars get hurt. Things are just different in the playoffs.
Well, turning to the NHL, a little playoff preview predictions. So I'll go through the bracket. In the Eastern Conference, the Toronto Maple Leafs took down the top seed. The Maple Leafs host the Ottawa Senators. The Tampa Bay Lightning, it seems like an annual tradition like any other in NHL hockey. The Lightning faced the defending champion Panthers. The team that had the best record in the Eastern Conference this season, the Capitals, with Mr. Ovechkin, take on the Montreal Canadiens. And in the last matchup, the Carolina Hurricanes take on the New Jersey Devils. In the West, the four matchups are the Winnipeg Jets versus the St. Louis Blues, the Dallas Stars versus the Colorado Avalanche, the Vegas Golden Knights versus the Minnesota Wild, and the LA Kings versus the Edmonton Oilers. I'll let you go first, Zay, as I rambled through the list. Who you got?
All right, so Maple Leafs, Panthers, Capitals, Hurricanes. In the West, Blues, Avalanche, Knights, Oilers.
All right. Well, I will give you mine. We agree on most of them. So I have the Maple Leafs, the Capitals, and the Hurricanes as well. I also do have the Golden Knights in the Oilers. However, I do have the Jets, the Stars, and the Tampa Bay Lightning to knock out the defending champions. The Lightning did have the better regular season, but the thing that is really alarming to me about Florida, they've played a lot of hockey given their deep runs the last couple of years, and they really struggled the last month down the stretch. I'm concerned. I know momentum is kind of like your last day's efforts, but I just think, and maybe I'm wrong, and I have friends that are very, very good big Panthers fans, but I just think that they're running out of gas. And the Lightning, remember what happened to them last year, thanks to Florida, in-state rival, chance to pay them back, home ice throughout this series.
That does matter.
I think that payback, so you know what, and the Lightning are catching them at the right time. I do like Tampa. And by the way, I'll have a little more something about the Lightning a little bit later.
Oh. Oh, okay, okay, okay. I like what you're putting down there. I don't know. You got two different schools of thought. You have the school of thought of, oh, it's the revenge series, the revenge games. And then you have the school of thought of been there, done that, not even looking at them, looking past them. Lightning looking for revenge. Panthers looking at just doing what they've already done. So they should pretty much have a decent amount of confidence in being able to do again what has been. It's the chicken or the egg. Like what comes first? Is it the revenge that makes you want it more? Is it knowing that you're likely to win that makes you even more likely to not want to lose because then it hurts more? Like, it's one thing to lose when you are supposed to lose, but it's another thing to lose when it's a team, one, that you've beaten, or two, a team that you should be able to beat. I don't know. I lean to your expertise as it pertains to the NHL, but it's a good sign that we had a lot of the same picks. I feel a lot better about my NHL acumen at this point.
That either means you're in store for a great playoff run or we're both in the same rough boat.
I just bumped the ship.
No pressure.
All right, my guy.
The truth and nothing but the truth.
This week, as we go into one of the most entertaining segments of the show, the top five all time of something. And BK, I got to be honest with you. I had to think, like, and my list is different, I'll say. But all time, top five artists I would listen to on a road trip.
So well, before we start, I just need to get this off my chest.
Okay.
I have a disclaimer because it's still the gospel truth. So here it is. There is 100% guarantee that I'm going to get a lot of crap about my list. And you know what? It's my list, and I don't give a damn. With that, let's go.
That just tells me your list is about to be way wrong.
Won't be the first time.
Oh, good. All right. What's number five, BK?
Number five, Carrie Underwood.
I'm not mad at that. She was one of my favorite American idols for like a long time. I like Carrie. She got a little bit of pizzazz, a little bit of sass, a little bit of country, a little bit of she's a cure for whatever else. I can roll down the road with a little Carrie.
My advice is don't cheat on her because your truck is in trouble.
Mm-mm. Please don't do that.
Just letting you know.
Mm-mm.
Who you got?
You'll think next time before you cheat if you cheat on her. I can tell you that right now. And make sure if you have a Louisville Slugger, it is way tucked away. If you do cheat on her, I'll just put.
Maybe that. I need a torpedo bat. Just kidding.
All right, number five for me. Okay, so BK, you should be used to this by now. Okay, so I don't want to hear no scuff about it. All right, it is what it is. So I cheated.
Stop the presses.
My number five is Pandora One Hit Wonders Radio. It's just the greatest.
Guys, I just want you to know Zay's got the rest of the show. I just can't. We're not even going to make it to four.
Bro, I'm telling you. Look, listen. Like, well, not right now. Like, after you finish listening to this podcast, then go to Pandora and put on One Hit Radio and enjoy your car ride. Like, you might not get to anything else after. They're going to play, like, two songs that you're like, you know what? They were One Hit Wonders, and that was an amazing song. I would have never thought, but now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, they kind of only had one song. And then they'll play another song. You're like, oh, yeah, that's my. Yeah, they only had. Anyway, so, yeah, my number five is One Hit Wonder Radio.
Number four. Taylor Swift.
Okay. So I got to give you. Okay. I got to come clean.
Okay.
Here's the thing, BK. I know for sure, with 100% certainty, that I know several Taylor Swift songs. But if you put a gun to my head, I couldn't name not a one. Like, I know for sure I know several of her songs. I'm sure of it. I'm sure that there are at least three of her songs that I can sing through word for word. Couldn't give you a title to save my life.
I would definitely leave the singing to you. As we both know on the program, it goes a lot better when you sing than when I do. But you got Anti-Hero, you got Love Story, We're Never Getting Back Together, Fearless.
We're never, ever, ever getting back together. Okay, that's her. That's her. Okay, see, that's one song. A lot of these other titles you're giving me, I probably know the song, but a lot of her titles, though. Never Getting Back Together matches the song. I don't know again, I know several of her songs, but anyway, I'll digress and we'll move on. Number four for me, Maroon 5.
Mm.
I don't care if you go back to their first album, all the way through several hits, several songs that you wouldn't know unless you listened to the album, and shame on you because you missed out on a lot of good music if you didn't. But Maroon 5, like, they were an old school band in the new school. And there aren't very many bands that have legit been popular when I was graduating high school and can still put out a song today and people not say, that group's still around? Like, people, like, it's, yeah, give me Maroon 5. The old version, new version, middle of the way version, whatever, give me Maroon 5. Love those guys.
No complaints. So I just want everyone out there to know that I got through 5 and 4 with no pushback. So we're 2 out of 2. We're going to try to go 3 for 3, but I feel like my luck's about to run out. So we're playing pressure luck. I'm about to get a whammy. But okay. Number 3, because you guys may not know out there, but huge country fan. We are in the South. Country music is very, very popular, specifically everywhere, but especially here. Number 3, I have Jason Aldean.
Okay. I'm not mad at Aldean. He's another guy, I'm sure I know at least 2 of his songs. Didn't tell you the title, but I'm sure I know 2 of his songs. So I'm not mad at that. We could throw a little twang in there.
All right. Who you got for 3?
All right, so for 3, this is a personal fave that a lot of people are familiar with, but I've probably listened to every one of his albums numerous times. That's Music Soul Child. He has several R&B albums. Well, all his albums are R&B, but he has several, you know, more upbeat type songs, love songs, just abstract thought songs, like whatever. Like, just, you can find whatever you're feeling on the road, you can find songs that match it from his catalog that kind of go along with whatever it is that you want to hear at the moment, without very much skipping involved. I mean, because he has enough albums to pretty much get you from South Carolina to New York, that's, I would say, road trip worthy.
I love it.
What you got next, BK?
Number 2, we're going to stay with our country theme, and I'm going to give you a little Luke Bryan. I Don't Want This Night to End is one of his songs.
Yep. I don't know any Luke Bryan songs. I can't think of any Luke Bryan karaoke songs.
Yes.
What?
I Don't Want This Night to End would be one.
Okay. Is he newer or kind of like?
No, he's been around a while.
Okay. Okay.
He's not Kenny Chesney, been around a while, but he's been around a while.
Okay. Fair enough.
Who's your
two? No Tim McGraw, but I'll take it.
All right.
And Don't Take the Girl is the best country song ever written, but I digress. We'll move on. For me, next up, this is hard. And I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying, because this next guy that I say, he ends up being number BK. I made a mistake.
What?
Yeah. One Hit Wonders was supposed to be an honorable mention.
So wait,
sitting here looking at my names and I'm like,
hold up. So we cheated and then we got the list wrong. I just want to make sure we circle back to this.
Cheaters never win, BK.
Okay. All right.
But it gives me the latitude. Okay. To be able to do this and not feel bad at all. I have 2 number 2s now. And that's Prince and Michael Jackson. I don't care what era you pick, what album you pick. You can get from South Carolina to California if you listen to both discographies of Prince and Michael Jackson. And that's not hyperbole. Like, that is, you can get to California and still spend another day listening to the rest of their music. Like, it's that good and it's that much of it. So, yeah, we'll correct our little snafu there and Prince and Michael Jackson at number two for me. And notice I did say Prince's name first, but go ahead.
I did. You always like putting someone ahead of MJ. Number one.
You're not wrong. And it's deserving every time I do it. But go on.
Number one.
LeBron is the prince of the NBA. But he's a king.
Number one. Because they have literally my favorite song, because I'm a very positive person. It's upbeat and makes great for a road trip. I would literally have it on repeat. Journey and Don't Stop Believing.
You would be aggravating before we got out of the state. I can tell you that right now.
I don't think it would take the music to get us there.
Hey, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'll take a little bit of Journey. I like Journey, actually. They're one of my favorite bands of that era. But just the whole, we're going to have to listen to this song 15 times as you, as you sing it every single time at the top of your lungs, no.
You know, what can you do? We drive with the top down, we listen to little Don't Stop Believing.
Look, and that's one of those songs that if you know the words, you can't not sing.
You got any dirty looks that I get while I sing it with the top down. We can have a little game over under 500 or something, you know, a little betting.
Hold on to that feeling.
Oh boy.
Oh, I love it. Journey. Yes. Yeah. I like that.
See, I did better with my list than you thought.
You know, here's one thing about it, BK. With me, you can't really go wrong with music. Like, I listen to a little bit of everything, so.
You and me both.
It's real hard to go wrong. All right, so with that being said, I'm going to throw out something now at my number one. And let me explain. You can't take a road trip and not have something to anger you slightly. Get you kind of in a bit of an uproar.
You mean Journey on repeat won't do that?
No, I said anger you, not tire you. It's a difference. Journey on repeat, I'm going to sleep. T.I., however, on repeat, I don't care what album you throw on there with T.I., you're going to have something that you're going to go from falling asleep to bouncing around in the car. And now you have a good 45 minutes that you didn't have to drive with being alert that you didn't have when you were listening to everything else you were listening to. So my favorite rapper, wouldn't coin him as the best rapper of all time, but my favorite rapper of all time, T.I. Got to get a little bit of rap in there at some point.
I like it.
And it's normally right when you're getting sleepy and are debating whether you should end the day of driving. I can get another hour for sure on the T.I. album. So. That's why I'm at.
Okay. I'm not mad at it. I like it.
Next up, your time to shine, my guy. BK's best bets. What we got for the people?
So I actually got two things for you. The first.
Let me get the bet online right quick. I digress. Go on.
The first thing that I would. We saw what the Heat did to the Chicago Bulls the other night in the play-in. They absolutely just annihilated them on the road. Tyler Hero went nuts from the land of three. They couldn't stop Miami on the inside as well. It was just a beatdown. Now Miami faces the Hawks. I love the Heat to beat the Hawks in Atlanta. The line is -1. Whether you make it -1 or take the money line, either way, give me the Heat. They will be the 8 seed. They're going to win Friday night, and they got the Cavs in the first round of the playoffs. The Heat will win. They're just the better team. They have more talent. They're better coached. They're playing better right now. Everything favors the Heat in this matchup. Give me the Heat. In fact, I'll go as far as to say I can't believe that line is basically a pick. So I think Vegas missed that one. And I hate to say this, but on the run I've been on, if Vegas and I disagree, it's usually Vegas is wrong. So that's just the truth. So
hey,
Vegas.
Hey, BK, that line has actually changed to a pick 'em. It's okay, no there point you go. Anymore. Yeah,
that's perfect. Even better. So give me the Heat money line officially, thanks to my buddy, is the best bet. The second one is a futures bet that I hinted at earlier. So looking at the bracket, right? The Lightning, the toughest matchup the Lightning are going to have to get to the Stanley Cup Finals is the first round against the defending champion Panthers. If they should get through that, and they do have home ice, if they get through that, their likely matchup is against the Toronto Maple Leafs. For you non-hockey fans out there, here's the thing. The Maple Leafs are terrific at winning in the regular season, and they're equally terrific at sucking in the postseason. In fact, they have the longest Stanley Cup drought of anybody in franchise currently. They haven't won a cup since 1967. They like to crash and burn in the postseason. And when the Lightning do beat the Panthers, as I predict, the Lightning then get the Leafs, and the Lightning will knock out the Leafs, which means they're one series away from the Cup Finals. Give me the Lightning to win the Cup at 11 plus 1100. Just not a huge investment on this, but with the, you know, I've given you the plus 700s quite a bit, you know, MVPs and all those things. Plus 1100, throw your money on the Lightning, because everyone's going to be on the Kings, who are like plus 650. The Panthers are plus 750. I see the Avs are plus 700. You see the Jets are around that, 900, 800. There's a lot of teams in that window that people will be have their eyes on. Mm-hmm. You know my rule. If the public is going to gravitate towards all these favorites, and there's always upsets in the hockey postseason,
yeah, true.
Why not gravitate to a team that has a chip on its shoulder, and the matchups tend to favor them in the Stanley Cup Eastern Conference playoffs? Those are this week's best bets.
BK bringing the Heat. I already got my bets in. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So my favorite part of the show, at least, can't miss weekly rants. For this week, for me, it's pretty short and sweet. As per customary, BK, I'll let you decide who goes first.
You'll go first.
Okay. So my can't risk weekly rant is pretty straightforward this week. Now that we're in the wonderful world of NIL deals, it should be mandatory that every school has a GM, if not a GM and an assistant GM, because you got a whole lot more moving parts. And you should also only be able to transfer once. Two things. You can only transfer once. You get a mulligan, if you will. But the I'm going to go to a different school every year until I go pro, graduate, flunk out, do whatever I'm going to do, whatever. Yeah, no, that dog don't hunt. It's not fair to other students. It's not fair to the coaches that thought they had particular players for whatever amount of time. That piece of it just doesn't work for me. And you kind of need to know what the projections are of who's going to be available, who may not be available, how much money we're going to have, what donor just stepped up and increased what we thought we had to a few million more, whatever the case may be. You need someone keeping up with all those moving parts. And if you add that to a head coach's job, would you think they just didn't have anything else to do with their 24 hours before NIL came around? That was a full-time job before this. So trying to do that and be a head coach, like, too much. So I would dare say a full-time GM and assistant GM if you're going to participate in the world of the NIL and you can only transfer once. Just too many moving parts. This whole mass exodus at the end of every year from every school, and let's just see if the grass is greener on the other side. You get to flip the grass once. If you flip it again, it's exactly what you turned it from the first time. We're not about to do this 4, 5, 6 times. You want the soil or you want the grass? That's your two options. That's all we got. That's my rant for this week.
So my rant is, you know, I haven't been doing it as much, but Don't worry. I have not forgotten my parents in this week's episode. And so my parents used to always say, when I was growing up, be careful what you wish for, because you just may get it. And I understand that Scott Boras is the super agent for many athletes, including baseball players. And I understand that Juan Soto wanted to take the biggest payday, and he went to the Mets and he took all that money and all those things. Well, guess what? He struggled out of the gate with the Mets. Why? Because he doesn't have the same lineup protection that he had with the Yankees. You know, it also doesn't have a history of winning. So let me get this straight. He's already come out and said that he misses being on the Yankees and having Aaron Judge in the lineup with him. Here's the thing. The Mets, yeah, they paid the most money. Yeah, their owner is aggressive. And I give them credit for that. But the Mets don't ever win anything. So why would you leave a team that literally makes the postseason almost every year? They've had 30 consecutive winning seasons. They make the playoffs almost every single season. They have, if not the best player in baseball, one of the top three best players at minimum in Aaron Judge. Why would you leave a winning culture to go to a team that's always a dumpster fire for a little bit more money, knowing that now you're never going to win? Like, what are we doing? Are we really surprised that the lineup isn't very good? Are we really surprised that you're not going to win a lot of games? Are we really surprised that you don't have Aaron Judge in the lineup? Like, the Yankees are going to make the postseason. You're likely going to figure out a way to miss it. And then you're going to be like, what the hell did I do? Stop always chasing the money, because if that's all you're about, that's fine. I'm not going to be mad at you for that. But Soto wants to win. And if you want to win and get paid, the Mets was the wrong move, because you're going to get paid, but you're not going to win. And that's the truth.
And BK, you normally do this, but I'm going to do it today. Let me just piggyback off of that real quick. Sometimes when you get caught in a game of chicken, it ain't no fun when a rabbit got the gun. And you felt real good about your negotiations and trying to paint the Yankees into a corner until they said, okay, prove it. And then you said, okay, I'll sign. And now you're saying, but if you had just given me that last offer one more time, I would have taken it. Sometimes you got to, as you started out, BK, sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for, because people aren't going to give you but so much leeway when you give them your behind the kiss. Like, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Sometimes they're going to call you a bluff. And now you're in a situation where you stuck with what was your second choice because of the one thing that they offered that you thought was appetizing. But now that you have that one thing, you realize all the things you miss at home. That's just the truth. And that does it for this week. We'll be back to you on next week. Make sure you check out the Gospel Sports Truth Fantasy Football Show. That'll be brought to you on next Wednesday. For this evening, we're out. And remember, always tell the truth.
And nothing but the truth. Enjoy the NBA and NHL playoffs. And I hope everyone has a great holiday weekend.
Peace.
Later, y'all.